Today, today is June 29th. I am Amani White, the interviewer, the oral historian, Khalid Waleed. The project is called Oral Histories at the Plant Closings in Milwaukee. Hi, Mr. Waleed.
Yes.
Okay, I understand that you were around the time during the plant closing and you experienced it.
At the time that I retired, we speak of A.O. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for 35, 36 years.
Wow.
And I was getting close to retirement anyway, but A.O. Smith played an instrumental role as far as the community in which I live.
Mm-hmm.
A.O. Smith provided life to the surrounding businesses. A.O. Smith provided the ability for many people in the city to be able to function as far as had a decent income,
mm-hmm.
Insurance is the key component.
Right.
So it's been very well missed.
I just wanted to ask you, are you from Milwaukee?
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
I was in Milwaukee most of my life, since I was 6.
Okay. After the plant closing, where did you go otherwise to employ after the plant closing?
At the plant closing, because of the insurance issue,
mm-hmm.
With the contract we had, being able to afford the insurance in which was provided to us, I had to seek other employment in order to cover me, my wife, mm-hmm. and my family at the time.
Right.
So I eventually ended up at Pottawatomie Casino,
mm-hmm.
Working outside in the buildings and grounds department.
Okay. I want you to tell me every thought, feeling in your body that you had. Like, did the plant closing bother you just financially? Did it bother you emotionally, mentally? How did you feel about the plant closing?
Well, I thought the plant closing financially, I wasn't as at that time really ready to retire. I was closing, but it changed my whole financial situation. With my family. It causes me to have to become more disciplined to a different type of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I was able to do certain things that now I'm not able to do as I was. I'm not as independent as I used to be.
Right.
But the plant closing more or less affected me in the manner that, A.O. Smith had been there for, especially in the inner city, for a long time.
Right.
And the neighborhoods in which we live in, A.O. Smith was really one of the life forces of the area in which I lived.
Right.
And many of the people whom I work with, we live, right around the corner from me, a number of people.
Right.
What happened was that A.O. Smith was, to me, last of the Mohegans because many of the other plants had faded out.
Mm-hmm.
And A.O. Smith survived through some trying times and... when A.O. Smith died, the quality of life in the community began to slowly depreciate. Yeah.
So with the plant closing, did you notice any change in local communities as far as stores?
Stores, restaurants in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You had your bars,
right.
Particular bars, always depended on certain type of workers coming up in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You had also many of your people that live on the outskirts were affected, maybe more so than in a lot of ways. I won't say more so,
mm-hmm.
because their lifestyle was changed. The surrounding community, is for the gas stations and all that, began to depreciate because the flow of the money began to depreciate.
Right.
And even as you see, you know, Milwaukee used to be one of the top cities as far as keeping the roads, the streets, and roads together. Well, after the L. Smith era, all that begins to be more like big potholes in the street.
Yeah.
And it's not taken care of.
Well, how did you find out about the plant closing? Were you told verbally? Did they send you a letter in the mail? How did you find out?
Well, you know, back then we was always looking at, there was always that threat that they was talking about closing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I forgot exactly how it, because I retired before the plant closing.
Right.
And I was one of those fortunate to be able to retire.
Yes,
at the L. Smith before they even, you know, talking about the plant closing. So mm-hmm. the plant was not closed when I left.
Okay.
So, but you can always see the handwriting on the wall. It's been,
right.
It was gradual. It wasn't a big shock.
Okay. Well, this is a question you may or may not want to answer. You don't have to if you don't want to. Did you or anyone you know use drugs or alcohol excessively after the plant closing?
Well, I'm Muslim,
mm-hmm.
so I wasn't taking drugs or alcohol at the time. I stopped drinking and all that. So after the plant closing, that wasn't the issue with me, drinking or alcohol.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know, are you familiar with pensions?
Yes.
Did you receive pensions?
Yes, I received a pension.
Okay. With the job, what skill were you majoring in? Like, what did you do?
When I retired, I was in the decorative department, you know, working with the machines. So I was always a press operator the majority of my time there. Ill Smith provided me with welding skills, ability to operate various different machinery. And it was piecework. And then at first, it was piecework. So I was always on the press departments, the production departments, working with the machinery.
Well, since you had already retired, you said before the plant closing, you had friends or coworkers, Meso. Did you see a drastic change in any of them that was working for it and then just, you know?
Well, I knew one brother. He just cried, you know. He wasn't looking for himself more so, even though he did have a good job.
Right.
He stayed all the way to the end. The way he looked at it was, the future generation, man, what are they going to do? You know, where are they going to get the jobs from?
Right.
This is one of the very last of the, in particular, middle class people, whether it's white, black, mostly it was white and Afro-Americans that worked there. You had Native Americans working there. Whether they're going to get this kind of jobs and this kind of
right.
benefits. And it's just, I mean, he really talks about it today.
Wow.
How it just devastated him. He was just looking at it from the perspective of, you know, well, if you notice, most of our young men are not going to college anyway.
Right.
Not able to go. one reason or another and don't qualify, haven't made the next level. So this was one of the very last of the jobs that for a person who did not have a college education mm-hmm. was able to get him a decent paying job.
Are you still in contact with him?
Eddie Ballard, I can get hold of him, yes.
Okay. Well, I want to know from your perspective, what do you think the long-term effects of the plant closing had on, you know, families and Milwaukee's community as a whole?
Many of your, the working class people began to go back to the South.
Yeah.
And began to leave Milwaukee. It affected the dynamics of the way the city was, the quality of the workers. Many of those was there to stick around for.
Right.
Go back where family is or whatever, but many of them moved on out of Milwaukee. You see a slow migration.
Yeah.
Of quality workers leaving Milwaukee, going elsewhere. Many of them stayed, but the numbers, a large number, left Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And since then, without certain, you know, being able to paying jobs that you had, they had to go elsewhere. They had to move on. Some of them was able to get as well good jobs elsewhere, but I think that was one of the biggest things. And within your family structure, the ability of being able to take care of your family paying jobs and things like this began to evaporate. And I think that's one of the biggest downfalls, along with the depreciation and being able to maintain the houses, foot the bills here in Wisconsin, you know, and things like that.
I'm only 17, so I wasn't around at that time. I don't know if the violence rate was high around that time or not. Did you see an increase or a decrease in the violence because of the plant closing out of anger from the employees being laid off? Did you see any difference in the community as far as violence or murders, homicides, anything?
Well, I would say that it wasn't with the workers, it was maybe the children. The devaluation of the communities, different families came in from other states, other cities, began to infiltrate Milwaukee because of the benefits that Milwaukee had,
right.
was offering. And so the violence is different, you know, but we had always had a certain degree of violence here in Milwaukee. But now it's much different. It's much different.
Did you have any family working in A.L. Smith with you?
No.
None at all?
No.
Are you still in contact with any of your previous employees, any of them? Are you still in touch?
Yeah.
If it was your decision, would you bring A.L. Smith back around? If you could open it back up, would you bring it back around to give the younger males and females more so the opportunity to experience what you experienced?
Well, I think if you bring back A.L. Smith, you actually bring back in the middle class. You're going to improve the circumstances and conditions of this community because it's more of a money flow if you're able to do that. I know times have changed and the cost is today, in comparison to the past, seems to be more prohibitive. But if you bring back a working class, it stands to reason that things are going to improve and get much better. One reason is that if you're working majority of the time, like we used to work, I mean, what kind of trouble do you get in no more than what's on the job, you know? So you're going to have to bring back some kind of working class. Otherwise, what are the people going to do? What are they going to, how are they going to survive?
Right.
What else can they do?
When you worked for A.O. Smith, how often did you work? How many days a week? How many hours?
It depends. Sometimes, you know, if you're working long hours, 7 days a week, but the majority of my time would probably be five, sometimes six.
Okay.
It all depends what department you're in.
So you were retired when the plant closing happened, so it didn't more so affect you financially. But would you say it bothered you mentally or emotionally because of the fact that you had been there for so long? And it's crazy to think, you know, something like that just dies out just so quickly.
Yeah, well, mentally and emotionally, see, I was sort of prepared in a sense. And it's not me that I think of more so than the community in which I live. And it affected me because that's the place where I used to work, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
And knowing that what type of, and it wasn't easy. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't easy working in A.O. Smith. A.O. Smith was a lot of hard work, but we had a community there in which, you know, in A.O. Smith, you know, you're able to learn how to work with diverse people, individuals, personalities, deal with all that. So it provided a, it was a savior for even for myself.
Right.
You know, if it wasn't for Earl Smith, what would I be doing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been able to do something much better, but Earl Smith helped to provide a lot for the community as a whole, because the fact of the matter is, as long as Smith was there, you know, you had a money flow.
Yeah.
In the community. When Smith dried up, it's having the same effects as when American, was it American Motors left Kenosha? They shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It turned into like a ghost land. So now we're seeing that kind of ill effects that's hovering over Milwaukee now. You know, Milwaukee, number one this, number one that, number one that's, in particular for the Afro-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the problem? The Afro-Americans cannot provide for themselves. So that's the kind that affects me. It affects me because I see the quality of life.
Yeah.
As slowly dissolving. And I look at young men and they didn't have the opportunity like I had.
Right.
You know, the best they can do, maybe if they get lucky, they might get a $10 an hour job. Man, that was unheard of by the time I retired, yeah.
Did you graduate high school?
Yes.
Where from?
North Vision.
Okay. When you graduated from high school, did you seek college or did you go straight to A.O. Smith?
No, I went, I had another job. I worked as a clerk. Mm-hmm. I was working in the federal building. I was working as a clerk for a while. And after that, I went to Chicago. I was working at a lamp company. Then I came back to Milwaukee. And then I eventually ended up in A.O. Smith.
Okay. Well, you were at A.O. Smith for 30 years, right?
Around 36, 35, 36.
You were there for quite some time. What were your opinions about A.O. Smith as far as your coworkers, your boss, how quickly they paid you, hours? What were your thoughts about A.O. Smith? How did you feel about it?
Well, really, you can't beat it because you're getting paid every week, you know, over $600-some a week. They paid you every week. The benefits was, it's unheard of in comparison to today, you know, free insurance. work conditions was rough, but that's the thing about life. Life is not going to necessarily designed to be easy, you know.
Right.
Normally it depends on you know, your workers, where you work, who you're working with. Generally, that become part of a different kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
And you become family here, family there. You learn about other people's culture. At L. Smith, it also provided you with the means of advancement if you choose, because you had the kind of money to be able to advance if you choose to, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was just a different family, a different kind of world, you know. It was a world in which, you know, you understand that a lot of young people nowadays, when you talk about working in a place 30-some years,
right,
see if they can find that. You know, that's what kind of atmosphere you had, because you had to kind of pay.
Yeah.
To keep you there, and the benefits and the seniority system and all that. So how can I complain, you know?
Yeah. What is your opinions about opportunities for making a good living in Milwaukee?
As far as Afro-American, unless they have an education, unless they have a skill, their chances of here in Milwaukee is very, very, very little to none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, number two is that you got to, for work in a manner, especially when you get a certain age, you have to think about your future. And you got to think about providing yourself with some type of security. Milwaukee, unless you develop and become disciplined and make your right moves, because a lot of doors are not open for a person who's of a certain background skills, you know, it's very limited. So here in Milwaukee, man, it doesn't look too good as far as prospering among a middle class, average working class person, as far as his ability to be able to make a dependent living here.
Okay, well, what do you think should be done to improve job opportunities in life for African Americans, males and females?
Well, generally, is this for any group of people? You need to have jobs, decent-paying jobs.
Yeah.
Without that, there's always a problem. Milwaukee, as far as a poverty city, in comparison to other cities, Milwaukee has always seemed to be, didn't look like a city that didn't have no poverty, because.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to other cities, man, you look at Milwaukee, they ask you, where's the ghetto, you know?
Right.
And Milwaukee has always been, but Milwaukee is gradually reversing that kind of conditions that used to be elsewhere is developing here, and seem like in other places, they're moving on up. And that's because some way they got a thriving means of developing their working class people, where they're able to provide for themselves and get the basic fundamentals of having a decent lifestyle, and also with the issue of developing that family structure. The family situation is one of the key components as far as, I think, the success of whether Milwaukee becomes just another poverty state or poverty city or what's called. I don't know. In my opinion, it's not looking too good.
You said you received pensions, right?
Right.
Did the pensions help you? Like, were you happy with the pensions, or were you disappointed? Did you expect different?
Well, I wish I could have got more, but
yeah,
something is better than nothing.
Yes.
A lot of these people don't have pensions,
mm-hmm.
even jobs. They're out there. They went from here
yes.
to almost below the welfare line because they ain't got nothing coming in. You know?
Yeah.
And so, we were very fortunate to be able to at least have that. Now, many other corporations are incorporating this 401 and this and like that, but what happens is if what you have laid up to the side, all of a sudden there's a big collapse in the economy and this and that. You know, yeah. nothing. A little nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so pension is a blessing for the working man. You yes. seek a pension.
How do you feel about being labeled an oral historian? Does that make you feel a little, proud of yourself? How does it make you feel? Because we consider you an oral historian.
Well, my feeling is I'm moving on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my colleagues, friends my age, moving up out of here, you know. So what else can you be?
Mm-hmm.
You got to look back and reflect and just hope that you're able to contribute to the positive side of the future rather than
right.
the negative. And mainly, there's nothing I can do about that. I can't change it around. So, you know, my feeling is that it's not a matter of being proud. It's just, man, it's just a reality check, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're there. You ain't got, you know, you can't, whether you like it or not. You
right.
know, you're lucky that you made it that far.
Well, this is an observation I made on my own, if you don't mind me asking. I noticed you gave me two names. Why two?
Huh?
You gave me two names, Khalid Wali.
My name, I became Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had my name legally changed. I'm still legally Robert R. Borum.
Mm-hmm.
But, in my Muslim community, they know me as Khalid Waleed, so I maintain both names. I just clarified, this is the Khalid Waleed who's
yes.
Robert R. Borum. That's what's happening.
Well, I think that's all I have for today for you. Is there anything that maybe we didn't touch on that you would like to speak on? Is there anything else?
I'm curious as to what brought this about. To interview people from?
Well, this is the Black Historical Museum, and we are very much interested about the plant closing, because I'm not sure if anyone ever asked you, how did you feel about the plant closing, or I'm not sure, but this is, it's just something that we really wanted to know, and it's an experience and it's an honor to have you guys come in and take time out of your day to, come in and talk to us and tell us about, because it's really interesting to me and I don't know how I would feel about it. So us bringing you in is because we want to know how it made you feel and, give you the opportunity to be honored for, everything that you experienced through the plant closing. That's basically what it's for.
Well, I say this. When I was coming up, I started working at Olson Mills. We had a community. This whole street is full of life. Go down Third Street, full of life. Not only you had stores, you had your food stores, you had your movie theaters and things like that. That was in that day.
Yeah.
There was a number of movie theaters around here. So, in our day, we used to walk everywhere we used to go.
Yeah.
We didn't go on the south side, east side, west side, so much
yeah.
so, because we had everything right here in the inner city. As these plants close, as we see it today, like this building right here, is a historical, becoming a historical, but it's the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
Once it's gone, What do you expect? You're it's
right.
over, you know. So this is what we at the stage of. If once this go,
right,
it's over. You know,
mm-hmm.
nobody gonna even know anything about you. So, that's the drastic change, and that's the way I look at things. The people that we grew up in, and actually we were fortunate to be able to make it to this age. I'll be 70 this year,
wow.
pretty soon. So, the most I can, you know, and so from my viewpoint, I think that reviewing the past,
mm-hmm.
hopefully that we can restore the future.
Well, that's all I have for you today. I greatly appreciate you coming in to do this. I thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.